looking for something. A new way, a new understanding, a connection, some comfort. You've got questions, and Light on Living puts the spotlight on all the answers so you can shine. Lift and lighten the load of life's challenges and learn simple and easy ways to live a healthy, happy life. You'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you. You're invited to hear new, see different, and feel more as Lisa shines the light on living.
Well, welcome everyone to Light on Living. I'm Light Coach Lisa, holistic nutritionist and life coach, helping to lighten the load of life's challenges. So I read this book that had an unexpected effect on me. I'm going to say rather profound, actually, is a little bit more accurate. I just really wasn't expecting this feeling from reading a book. So what it was for me, and I know everybody's going to go, oh gosh, but it was actually like the feeling I get when I see my cats and I'm in their presence, and it's very familiar. It's regular, normal, everyday feeling, but it's love and peace. It's just always there. It's just like that. So I want to explain that a little bit more. There are emotions that, you know, I experience or you experience every single day, and I expect to feel them every single day, and I hear people talk about them, and I'm, you know, it's all swirling around, and I'm aware that they exist. So it's not like they're new, they're not a secret, and they aren't cutting edge, but what they are is truth, and what they are is comfort, and essentially what they are is everlasting. And the book that my guest today wrote held me in that space, a comfortable, familiar, beautiful love space. And I'm so grateful that she wrote it and shares it so that we can all be reminded of a space that we all get to be in and that we all get to stand in and we all get to share. So I'm honored to be able to introduce you today to Courtney Amundson. She is author, musician, artist. And so to share a bit more about her, I'm going to read her bio here because it even goes deeper than that. I mean, there's just so much more to her. But Courtney Amundson began her path as a seeker at a young age. And I do mean young age, we're going to get there, progressing to the point that these teachings began to flow through her effortlessly and with complete love and joy, starting at the age of 16. In the beginning, the wisdom was received for her own evolution and understanding, but after a short time, she was guided to share it with as many people as she possibly could through teachings from God. And since then, she has worked single-mindedly on getting these teachings out to the public, not only through the work of the book, but expanding into sharing her insights through publishing articles and speaking. So in addition to her dedication to the advancement of the teachings, Courtney is actively progressing towards Qigong healing certification as well as cranial sacral therapy certification. And as a classically trained violinist, she is engaging her passion for music in new, more free expressions. So teachings from God has given Courtney the inspiration and tools to create the life that excites her, and more than anything, she wants to inspire you to do the same. So welcome, Courtney. I'm so happy to have you here.
Thank you, Lisa. I'm so happy to be here, and thank you so much for having me on the show.
Aw, well, you know what? I really wasn't expecting the feeling, really like a comfort. Like it felt like just comforting. So I want to ask you, and I want to share with everybody, this book that you've written has actually come because you were channeling, like you channeled this information, these messages, teachings from God. So I know you didn't go to school, like into the classroom, and God showed up. So how did that come about?
Yeah, you know what? It's a really auspicious day today because it's actually the 6-year anniversary since this started on this very day. So.
And I said, happy anniversary to be connected to that very, like that would be cool. Actually, if you could, that day, I want to hear about that day all over again.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, I talk about this being, something that I think was brewing for, you know, many years prior to this actually happening. So it wasn't really like a boom, all of a sudden I started channeling sort of experience. I think, you know, there was an energy behind me coming through me in different ways, you know, through music and through my art. So I recognized that feeling when it came through in this way, but I think it started to open, you know, in prior years because I started to meditate and I learned meditation from my Qigong teacher. As you mentioned, I practiced Qigong, and so I was you know, practicing regularly meditation and Qigong exercises. And so also, like, on the side, really interested in, like, Abraham Hicks. And so I listened to, like, a lot of different things and was very interested in that. And
that's actually neat, so, that you would be into, because they channel. So that's, I guess that's what they kind of say, is even you write about this in the book, and it's, we attract what we're, like, that the vibration level that we're at is because that's what we're attracting mm-hmm. to. And you were very mm-hmm. like, that was really young to be attracted to this. Not that, I mean, that's actually the place where we are. Why does it, like, you were very aware of it and said yes to it. Yes, I'm going to do the Qigong. Yes, I'm going to meditate. And you've got to be now, like, were you even a teenager at that point?
Yeah, well, I started this, like, Qigong and meditation when I was around 11.
That's so young to recognize that, too.
Well, my parents introduced me to this Qigong master. And basically, I accredit a lot of my spiritual development to his teachings and just being able to be in his life as well. And and so I started, you know, these meditations and experienced a lot of really beautiful, interesting things, and learned about, you know, like, having a spiritual teacher in your life and how important that is in your own development. And so I built this, you know, connection actually with Buddha when I was really young. And I don't actually talk about this, but now I am, I guess. I had this experience when I was 12. I was practicing my Qigong in the morning, and I had this third eye opening experience where literally I was, you know, my eyes were closed, but my right in my third eye, it completely opened, and I saw this beautiful purple light, and I saw Buddha in the middle of it. And and that was, like, a huge opening for me, one of those moments where I realized that I wanted to stay on this path, because there's something really profound about what I felt and saw, and most of all what I felt, and that I had some kind of mission. And so so that's when I think I realized there's something deeper and, you know, more meaningful to my life, and then I recognized. And but my mom introduced me to Abraham Hicks material, and, you know, she's very much a seeker herself. So all the materials that I really got came from my mom's yearnings and stuff as well. So anyway, fast forward to March 12, 2012. I was doing my meditation, and that prior week I became really, really interested in past life regression all of a sudden. Ooh. And children's past lives, and because some memories were coming up for me. And so I remember, like, in between my schoolwork and stuff, like, I was doing online high school at the time. So in between my assignments, I was, like, researching like crazy on YouTube and, like, trying to remember out the meaning, like, of life.
But do your memory, like, you were having memories of your own life or your past life? Like, just memories that you went, hey, wait a second, that's not really my memory. So is it some other?
Just feeling. Well, it was like this feeling that there was something that wanted to come out within me, and I didn't know what it was.
Okay.
And my mom had been talking to me about some things that I had said when I was young as well. Like, within that week, she was looking through some old journals of her and was recounting some conversations that my three-year-old self had with her, asking her about how her mom and dad died and where they went. And, you know, I was asking all of these things. And so she had written this down and was talking to me about it when I was older. And so this was all sparking a lot of things at the same time. And so I was meditating, and all of a sudden I got this really light, like, floaty feeling, almost like I was elevating above the couch I was sitting on. And then this, like, really distinct, super powerful light started coming through from the top of my head down through my limbs and out through my fingertips. And it was like, it was shocking. Like, it was not something that I had ever, you know, felt before. It was like, you know, you talk about unconditional love, but it's not a concept. It's really like a feeling. And so this light was almost like I could feel like if I opened my eyes, I would see it, you know, visually, but it was like coming out of my fingertips. And I was like, oh, I know what's happening. You know, this is what happened to Esther Hicks. And I was immediately just like going with the flow of it. And
do you think that that's because through, like, I'm thinking of a light being allowed to go straight, like just go shoom, right? And so is that, do you think that mm-hmm. because of your meditation, because of your practice and your commitment to it, that you were able mm-hmm. to align and keep in that, like, not so many blocks or flows or kinks and stuff, that it kind of got the right combination?
Well, you know, it's something that when you feel it, it feels like home. It doesn't feel like mm-hmm. something that you would want to block, you know, it feels like home. And so when you do feel it, it's just like sinking into a warm bath. You know, I think it would be, sort of, you know, like when people talk about their near death experience, they talk about going into this light, you know, that's the feeling that it felt like. It, you wouldn't want to turn away from it. You know, that's against your instinct, I guess.
Right. I have to say, the next thing, I think I nailed that feeling then, because in the beginning, that's when I felt like I always say, coming, like looking at my cats is like coming home, and that's
right.
Kind of sad. And I'm like, oh yes, mission accomplished. And I'm like,
yeah. And the other thing that was really distinct about it was just the intelligence of this light that I could feel. Like there was an intelligence, there was words behind it. And so that's when I went to my computer and I put my fingers down on the keys and they started to move on their own. Mm. And in this feeling, now people might be like, oh, like that's creepy. You're possessed.
Yeah, right.
But it wasn't like that. It was still underneath that, this incredible gentleness, incredible love, and something that felt very, very familiar to me. So I went with the flow, and as you can tell in the book, you've read it and other people have read it, you know, the words are so beautiful, and that's the feeling that I, of course, had as well as I was writing it. But so it started on that day, and I think I did that for a couple hours that day and continued for a couple hours every day until I had over 1,000 pages single-spaced. And
there's 50 chapters, and when I say 50 chapters, they're like not topics, but kind of like little themes of just how to love ourselves and to love others and recognize in others what that's us too. And I had to write down all these little quotes and stuff as I was reading, because there's so many lines that I went, oh, I better bring that up and talk to you about that. One of the things that I loved, what you wrote, says, knowledge of the strong presence of the divine within, within courage, is to really dominate you, is the alternative to letting the other part of us take over and lowering ourselves to feel lost in our lives and purposeless. Now, we all talk about, okay, find your purpose, know your purpose. And when I read the words feel lost in your life and purposeless, like I wanted to cry. And it was just really sad. And I thought, yes, because if we don't have that knowledge and we don't know about that light and that feeling, what is there to encourage us to? Like, how do we, what do you, if someone were to come up to you and say, I am lost and I don't know how to feel the light, like where would they start?
Well, I would say actually that's the best place to be, because it's where you're aware that you're feeling lost is where, you know, there ignites a spark within you. It's when people don't even know that they're lost that I am worried about them.
I think
when people are sort of just aimlessly running around in their lives, you know, completely blindfolded, that they can't even see anything else, that's where I look at people and I go, oh, that's, you know, that's too bad.
Like an endanger zone.
And at the same time, that's so judgmental, because I also believe that everyone is on the right path and, you know, for their own evolution at all times.
There's a line that you wrote, says, your job is not to plan your life, but to follow your life. And I love that. It's kind of what you just said right there. I was like, can't judge it. And that in itself is interesting, because if we're following life, is that because we're just co-creators with, well, actually, okay, we won't come, I'm going to jump into it, because when you were channeling, I mean, these are either beings or God or Guy or universe coming through, or is it all of us? Like, was I coming, but my soul and my spirit coming through in that light too, or?
Well, you know, this is the best way that I can explain it, because I talk about this presence as oneness, because it is that all-inclusive energy that is, you know, contains all of us. So all that is oneness, spirit. I use those all interchangeably to describe the same energy. So, you know, it's the broadest energy that I think we can experience, you know, the source. So it, you know, to me, you know, everybody asks me, who are you channeling? What's the name? Where did it come from? All of this stuff. And I say, you know what? And it talks about it in this book as well, is that, you know, when we put labels and names on everything, it's really for us. It's not because that's how it actually is. It's really just for human beings. But when you get to the, when you get to the broadest level, I don't want to say the highest level, but the broadest bird's eye view perspective, everything becomes one in the end. And that's that energy that was coming through when I wrote this book. Mm-hmm. So, of course, we're part of that. But the way that I explain it, not me, but the way that is explained in the book is like a pot of soup. And so, you know, within a pot of soup, there's many different flavors, many different many different ingredients that you can distinguish, but you don't always, you know, in the end, you know, it's a pot of soup and you taste it all together. So
I love that. Great analogy. When we come back, because we're going to go to commercial, but I want to ask you about dimensions and if you could help clarify that for us.
Perfect.
The best of the holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Humanity Healing International is a small nonprofit with a big dream. Since 2007, HHI has been working tirelessly to bring help to communities with little or no hope. Our projects are not broad mandates, nor are they overnight solutions, but they bring the reassurance that no one is alone and that someone cares. To learn more, please visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
Welcome back to The Cat Show. Up next, we have Nico. Nico is a member of the Shelter Pet Group.
That's right. A group known especially for their sunspot sleeping, ball chasing, leg rubbing, and of course, companionship. Just look how she struts.
It's like she owns the place.
And see how she curls up and cuddles her person.
The pitch on her purring is simply perfect.
Nice one.
Fantastic cat. But really the best way to know an amazing shelter pet like Nico is to meet one.
Visit theshelterpetproject.org today. Adopt.
Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Welcome, everybody. We're back here with Light on Living. We have Courtney Amundson, and she is the author of Teachings from God. And I keep trying to grasp, you know, I want to use my brain to kind of understand, but I don't know that it's a brain. You've mentioned it many times in the book, too. It's always not a mind or brain thing to understand. It's a concept. But if you could talk about the multidimensionality of the human being, like just... where do we live, like the third dimension, fourth, fifth, like where are all these dimensions? Like, where do they come from? How do we know that they're there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, it's a very frequently asked question, I find, and I used to be very intellectual about this as well. As I was sort of learning and figuring out all of this, I was very much like, I want to understand, you know, yeah. give it all to me. And, you know, I was a little overwhelmed because, you know, the mind, of course, we are human beings, you know, we want to understand everything with the mind. And yet when I would go into my meditations, it all came through as like a block of intelligence, sort of, that was just like downloaded, and all of a sudden I would understand it. So yeah. I'll do my best to explain it in my own words, but, and it's explained in the book as well, but, you know, these different dimensions are not actually places, but they're frequencies. They're patterns of frequencies. And so, you know, it's interesting. And this is what I haven't fully understood myself yet, but, you know, our consciousness can you know, take on these different frequencies, I guess. When we raise our consciousness, we can go into these different frequencies. And so for example, when I'm channeling, I go into higher frequencies that's beyond my mind, far beyond my mind. And so that's what allowed these super deep concepts that I had never learned about, never heard about, to come through me. And part of this has to do with the Akashic Records as well, which for those that don't know about that, that's basically, it's kind of like the cosmic library that contains all the information of the universe, and actually resides, you know, within our physical planet as well as within our physical bodies as human beings. So it's super cool. We each have our own personal one, and then there's one that kind of contains everything of everything. So, you know, when we ask through free will, so we also have free will. So whenever we want to go to different places, open up different parts of us, we have to ask for that. So when, you know, I would have an intention, you know, going into the, you know, channeling session, and I would ask, you know, for whatever I needed at that time, or simply maybe just to receive the highest guidance that we needed, you know, collectively at that time. And then I would go into my meditation state, and you know, this stuff would just come through.
When you go into your meditation state, do you, how do you meditate?
yeah, as me, myself, I don't have a practice, so to speak. It's not like a scientific thing, like now I do this, now I do that, now okay. I do that. Usually when I'm doing any sort of channeling, which I consider to be a little bit different than just, you know, meditation, but, you know, when I go into that space, it starts with an intention. Well, actually, no, it starts with me sitting down, getting comfortable, and focusing on the lower dantian, which is the point deep in behind the navel. I focus a golden light there, and then I slowly bring it up to the heart, and I visualize that golden sun shining brightly in the heart. And then I visualize my spiritual master, or just the unconditional light of the universe, merging with the energy of my heart, and expanding and expanding and expanding. And then I ask very, very clearly, the highest of light, please come through me now and show me what I need to see. And that's usually literally the statement that I say. And it's very open-ended, because I like to just receive what's there. I don't want to put any limitations on my experience because of me, you know. That's always been my highest, my highest intention, is that I want to be out of the way as much as I possibly can. I don't want to have my human filters or my ego or anything as much as I can in this experience.
I love that human filters. And so you actually helped me with a word. It's I always have this issue with the word deserve, but it comes back to giving and receiving. And a lot of people will say, you know, I just really need to learn how to receive, and they think, whether they feel and they are or they're not, you know, they think that they're just giving, giving, giving. But you actually, when I was reading the book, I thought, oh my gosh, I have a new perception for the word receive now. Because like what you said about the dimensions not being a place or something, you said about them being a frequency. Well, like a receiver, you know, like back in the day with your stereo, you tune into a certain frequency to receive. And so what you just said right there is like, you're not asking for something specific, like a specific intention. You're just saying, let me receive. So it's not like, I think a lot of times our human egos get us out into the world and go, okay, I got to be open to receive this money because, or open to receive the healing because I'm sick, or, but we're being so not open to receiving really at that point because we're being so direct and demand, not demanding, but you know what I mean? Like expectations.
And so, well, yeah, when it comes with a, ulterior motive or comes from a place of lack, then I think that's the real thing, is we go, you know, I need to pray or I need to meditate because I want this, or I need to manifest that or whatever. When it comes from the place of, you know, I'm connecting because this is my true nature, this is my sacred, you know, temple within myself, and I'm doing this because I want to nurture myself and understand myself. That's where it came from for me. I'll just share. I mean, you know, I think all of us at the root of everything, we want to really understand ourselves because we are, you know, we're the mirror of everything else we see around us. And so I, knowing that, said, I want to understand myself. I want to see myself fully and in the raw so that I can see the world around me fully and in the raw. So that's when I started to really get a lot of really vulnerable stuff, you know, back. And at the same time, really, really profound. And so I think, you know, obviously it takes courage to do that. But when you do, then you become your own greatest teacher and healer. And you don't have to look outside of you anymore. And so I think that's, you know, whenever people say, what's your prayer, what's your intention, I would say that that's my prayer and intention, is to really, you know, when I go into that place, I want to see what I need to see. And, you know, when you allow it to be open that way, that light, your spiritual master comes through and helps you to see. And the more open you can be, it doesn't come with force. It just comes with allowance, because you know that that isn't invading you. This isn't some kind of invasion. This is, you know, coming more fully into you. And I think for me, because I didn't have fear about it, I just allowed more easily.
You're talking about seeing and into the light and the fear and stuff. And it's funny because there's another thing you wrote, to see a shadow, you must be half in the light. And I love that, because a lot of times I remember when I first learned about the shadow, what's it called? With Caroline Mines. Oh my goodness, the shadow archetype and stuff, the shadow of the archetype. And it used to scare me. I really get scared quite easily. So I was thinking, oh, the shadow. I don't want the shadow. I don't want to deal with the shadow. And so when I read that line that you wrote, it says, well, in order to even see that shadow, you must be at least half or partly into the light. And in your words, if you were to express or share what that means about a shadow, like, what, just help me out so that I'm not scared. No, but what is the shadow part of something?
Well, I think it's the yin and yang. I don't think it's good or bad, positive or negative. It's just, it's the balance of what makes up our entire existence. And of all that is, you know, there is, you know, the spirit talks about this all the time. There is no positive and negative forces, meaning good or bad. This is our interpretation. This is, you know, what we use as emotional beings, as vibrational emotional beings. We label everything, and that's how we organize our experience in the physical world. From that standpoint, it's just vibrational differences. It doesn't have any good or bad to it. So, you know, the shadow self, I feel like so many people are like, you know, know, I'm going through my shadow, you know, like right now.
Yeah.
I gotta like retreat for a little bit. And certainly I think there's different aspects of that that, you know, is part of the human experience. You know, sometimes people go through these phases of, you know, maybe what you would call like the dark night of the soul. Mm-hmm. I definitely have had them, having them.
Aww.
But I don't see it, but the way that I want to say it is I don't see it as like, I think these things are weaving through our everyday. I don't think it's, you know, like a certain like distinct phase that you have to get through, you know.
Right, like you might have the night of the dark soul might actually be like a 30-second thing that happened in the morning and a 15-second thing at night, but then the next day you're going to have another, like it's just kind of like you said, just kind of comes and goes weaving through there.
Well, it's, yeah, it's sort of like a mindfulness practice in a way, to just be aware of what is the experience. I think that's what I'm trying to say is I think we are being called to not label everything so much and just experience what we're experiencing and be mindful of it and then have a practice to help us to stay aware of ourselves and be loving towards ourselves throughout the process. And
Des, I want to talk to you about the practices because I another thing that you I love writing little notes when I was reading your book. It says when you judge, you no longer make progress. And that's that thing that you're talking about, allowing. And then, so then I was thinking, cause, you know, I think emails I'm reading and I'm like, oh, but sometimes I do get disappointed. Like I get disappointed in myself or something. And I'm like, oh, wait a second. Am I judging it then? But I'm like, yeah, but I really am judging. I am disappointed. And then my question to you is because you have such lovely practices, like I think your just life is filled with beauty. I mean, you paint, you draw, you create your, you know, do videography and photography and you sing and you play music. And I'm like, oh my gosh, there's so much beautiful things. Like, do we need, like, I'm not saying need, but how do we, how can, say I'm in a disappointing moment. I'm like, oh, so disappointed in myself for that. But then I'm kind of judging and I'm harsh. But how could I use a practice to assist me to allowing? How do you use your practices?
Well, I am mindful of those moments when I am disappointed in myself, frustrated with myself, and I don't try to change it. And I think that's
oh, God.
The biggest... No, seriously. It's, you know, and I learned this from somebody that taught me the, you know, practice of mindfulness. And, you know, she said to me, oh, do you know about mindfulness? Of course I know about mindfulness. I've read Thich Nhat Hanh. I know exactly what you're talking about. You have nothing to teach me. And she's like, no, but it's a real practice. And I'm like, okay, well, you know, tell me about it. And then I realized I'm really not practicing mindfulness at all. And, it was really about, you know, because I was, you know, having some issues with anxieties and, you know, fears and just, you know, scared of life basically. And, you know, I started to witness, you know, my emotions and how they were very strong, you know, as sort of my dominant reality at that time. So the world around me was looking really dark and, you know, I would notice myself in places that I would normally feel this lightness about me and feel, you know, this darkness around me. And then I would realize, okay, this practice, okay, shift my focus. And then I would look at this tree in front of me. And then I would notice, oh, that, you know, the limbs are moving in the wind and how beautiful that is. And there's this, you know, this bird, you know, sitting on this branch and it's, and then all of a sudden I'm taken into that moment and I, you know, shift my focus. And that's the practice of mindfulness. Also, while you're having whatever experience you're having, not trying to change it, just noticing it. It's an experience. It's not you. It's an experience moving through you. And so that was the greatest observation that I ever made is that, you know, reality is not solid. It's constantly in movement and it's about our focus and our attentiveness to each experience. I'm very easily, you know, drawn into, I'm very, you know, sensitive to things. So, you know, that's definitely a really important thing for me. I don't think there's any way to really truly truly master this in every sense, where we're no longer gripped by any strong emotion, because that's part of what we're here for. So, you know, but my practices, you know, like with all the things that I do, does it help me? Sure. I think it does. But am I trying to avoid these, you know, emotional contrasts with my practices? Not really. It's just a way for me to express. So,
oh my God, I love that.
Yeah.
I have to pause on that just because, we're not picking up a, sorry, I want to, again, get this word right here. We're not using practices to avoid an emotion. We're using the practice to express. Oh my God, I love that.
Yeah.
Oh, it just, you just remove the expectation. Like, again, we're trying to go, nope, I don't like that. I'm changing that. I'm not happy with that.
Well, anytime we resist, we're not listening. And that's the thing. That's exactly what I was coming back to with, you know, my intention in the beginning of this channeling is show me what I need to see, which includes what I maybe don't want to see. And when you open the doors to that, yes, it is a real, it takes a lot of courage and a lot of, you know, well, I guess it might take courage, but to me, it's more like if you want to get anywhere, you want to open up all the doors. And that was my motivation. It's not like I want to feel all of this at once, but that, you know, I want to feel it at the right time, and I want to experience these things in order to truly ascend. And that still remains my purpose and my goal is I want to break through these things that need to
get you there
or in this lifetime or whatever. I want to continue. I want to, you know, be.
Well, you're
going to
sneak up. We're sneaking out the commercial there. But when we come back, I want to ask you about ascension. I'm so glad you brought that up. Okay, in 2 minutes.
The best of holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
Grab a cup of tea or a glass of wine and tune in for Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Linda creates sacred space for leading female luminaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. A soulful venue where guests openly share the fears and obstacles they've overcome, wisdom and lessons learned, and the personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations, to empower you on your path to authentic, soulful living.
So I'm a cat, and I just moved in with this new human. And she's got this little toy she's always playing with all day long. Tap, 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 bloop, bloop. She can't put it down. There it is. Oh, and get this. She even talks to it. Last week, she asked it for Chinese. And guess what? Egg rolls showed up like magic. Humans have cool toys.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
And we are just here sharing this beautiful time with Courtney Amundson on Light on Living. And I'm so glad you brought that up. That was on my list I had to ask you about, is you brought up ascension.
Okay, I need a big definition of this for all the listeners and myself, and why you, like, it sounded like when you said that, you said, I want to ascend. I mean, that's a pretty bold statement and commitment to that. So I want to know what your feelings behind that, why you know that you will, and you, that's what you're like looking forward to.
Well, I don't see it as a end point, so to speak. Okay. So a lot of people, when they talk about ascension, enlightenment, they think, you know, it means like, you know, you've reached some, you know, some spiritual place where you're just done and everything's easy peasy now. I don't see it that way at all. I see, you know, this every lifetime as an opportunity to grow into your soul purpose, grow into your highest expression. And what I meant by ascend is, you know, I feel like I have work here to do, and all of us have work here to do, but you know, it's about having fun and also being aware of those aspects that need to be worked through. And if you can sort of proactively work on them, you know, consciously be working on them, then you're going to be even further ahead than if you are completely unaware of what you're doing. So, you know, knowing that there's some things that that I need to work through, and always seeing new things ahead that I need to work through, definitely keeps me busy. and you know, sometimes there's challenges, sometimes it's really easy flowing. It's all the ebb and flow of the experience that is, you know, what is life. But I think, you know, even in the midst of those emotions and, you know, challenges and all of that, that, you know, people get taboo about, you know, like, oh, you know, it's fun hanging out with you and you're, you know, fun. And then when you're going through this, you know, I don't want to hang out with you anymore. You know, I think it's really just like been my expectation, not desire, but my expectation to find people around me that can share with me that experience of the whole thing, the whole experience of life. And, you know, not just, you know, not just when everything is feeling great, but also like, let's talk about all of it. And, you know, that's where meaning in life comes from. And just what you said about, you know, the shadow, and you have to be half in the light to see the shadow. You know, I feel like I'm such a more whole person and grounded person because I'm not naive to these dark aspects. And and so, you know, I think for me, am I going to resolve everything in this lifetime? Absolutely not, because that's not how it is. It's an ever-going process, and the soul just wants to grow. That's why we chose this experience.
I think it's so beautiful that you kind of just gave me this weird permission to, like, I talk about how this show, Light on Living, is here to help lighten the load of life's challenges. And one of, I think, my super challenge on this lifetime anyways that I'm aware of is that, you're right, I was probably feeling like, no, I got to resolve everything this lifetime. I won't know about the next lifetime, so I better get it done. So I get very, you know, disappointed myself, going, oh my God, you just got so pulled off track, Lisa. You have work to do, and this is important, and how could you be so pulled off your spiritual path kind of thing? And then, you know, there's that whole thing, but I feel like you just gave me this, like, hey, wait a second, I don't have to get it all done this lifetime.
Well, I mean, you can't.
Yeah.
It's not, I mean, it's beyond your awareness of these things as well. I mean, it's so beyond your awareness that, you know, it's like the metaphor of the onion, and which I think is in the book as well. It's like unpeeling each layer of the onion. You're like getting closer to, you know, the core of it and the sweetest part of it. And each layer that you unpeel, you're like, oh, perfect, I'm done. And then there's another layer and another layer, and it's infinite layers of, you know, and, you know, you can't be daunted by that. That's what life is. But that's where I just have really begun practicing this truth, which is just that, you know, I'm following my life. I'm also co-creating with my life, but it, you know, I feel like I'm just following it and seeing, you know, in the moment instead of like, what's next? You know, I feel like I'm more just grounded in the moment and, at least the best that I can be, but.
Mm-hmm. Well, I actually, one of the things you're definitely very good at, I'm so glad that you follow this in life, is that you are a musician on many levels, between the violin and the fiddle. And, I just posted one of your videos this morning on Facebook page. What is the name of that instrument? It's a wood and it's got little metal. You pluck them almost. What is that called, that instrument?
Let's see, the one that I was playing in the video,
No, it's like a plucking of like these little tongs of metal that stick out. You go ding, ding, ding.
Oh, the kalimba. The kalimba. Yeah.
The kalimba. Yeah. Oh my gosh, I've been trying to think of that word for like months because there was one floating around and I was like, what is this? It's so pretty, by the way. But you use a lot of really neat instruments when you're like, you have such a beautiful voice and you sing, but you also chant, but you pray. And I just, well, first of all, thank you for sharing that. I want everybody to hear that. So they can either go to my Facebook page where I've shared just that one video. I mean, you have tons of them. But what is it? Are you channeling at all or meditating? Are you just enjoying that? You're just being a musician. You're just enjoying.
No, it's definitely a sacred thing for me. But I don't see them as separate. And I think that's the greatest revelation of my musical my musical life is it used to be separated. I used to be the spiritual person that, you know, would meditate and, you know, do Qigong, and then I would go to my orchestra and, you know, I would, you know, practice, you know, the, you know, insanely hard stuff, and then go back to my meditation practice, and it just felt like all these separate sort of like parts of me. And I didn't really know like which one I wanted to be or which one was me. And then I just integrated as one thing. And now I just feel like that free flowing expression that is the same in the channeling, it's the same in my music. It's actually, it really all feels like the same energy now at this point. So really whatever I'm doing, it's an expression of that. It all feels the same at this point, but
it's kind of that reminds me of your
started.
I was just gonna say you have this other analogy in the book that to build a house, you can't just use a hammer, you can't just use a screwdriver, and I love that because so as opposed to saying what am I doing today? Well, I'm using a hammer today. What are you doing today? I'm using a screwdriver today. What are you doing today? Well, I'm building a house.
Mm-hmm.
And that just kind of reminds me of what you just said there. It's like, well, I'm not just meditating. I'm not just singing. I'm on my sacred path, following my life.
I love that metaphor, too. I thought it was brilliant when I read it back. And yeah, there's so many times I was like, oh, yeah, good one. You know, fist bump, good one. but, yeah, I do love that. And I feel like that's definitely what I experienced in my own life is that, you know, I'm using so many different tools to create this bigger vision. And I think it's all sort of coming together before my eyes. And still, I think a lot is still brewing now, but I really have just started. I only started singing like a year ago. I didn't sing at all before. I didn't sing in the shower or anything like that.
Wow.
So yeah, it's kind of crazy. I just bought a harmonium. You know, and then all of a sudden, you know, I had a band and was doing leading kirtans and now.
Yes, and they're beautiful. Yes, so you are. Let's talk about, I want to share about that. So you've written this, well, you've channeled written this book and it's out in Teachings from God, but you're working on an album right now. Do you have a name for it?
Yeah. Not yet. Okay. I think it's still, you know, it's got to come together first, and I know that at least for my book, I didn't have a name for it until it was completely done. So I think once it's completely done and I feel the energy of it, I think it's just going to come through. But that's my latest project.
Missy as the album. And when you're doing the album, the people you choose, like you said, you have a band. How was that just like, did they just appear? You went, oh, no way, you just showed up and I need that kind of person for this band. Or did it just, or did you already have some people in mind or did they come to you? Or?
No idea. It was actually like a leap of faith because I didn't even post any, you know, any kind of anything until I think like July or something. I posted a little clip with me and my harmonium on Instagram, and I was like, oh, you know, I'm like, I was just really freaked out about posting it. And then after that, I started becoming comfortable posting more. And then I think it was in maybe September that I posted something on Facebook, and I was like, you know, I'm looking for some bandmates, you know, for a Kirtan band. And somebody friended me on Facebook that hadn't even seen this post or anything, just saw my profile picture with my harmonium. And I was like, oh, I play drums. And I was like, cool, you know, come over, let's practice. And then, you know, this person actually ended up finding everyone else. And so the whole band just, yeah, kind of manifested. And my mom is actually singing in my band, too. So.
Is she? Oh, my goodness. Was she a singer before, too, or is this new for her, too?
Well, I mean, you know, you sing around the house, but not actually. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that is so fun. Oh, my goodness. And so can we expect, will you go on tour? Like, for big shows? And
oh, I'm sure. I'm sure someday. Yeah, someday maybe. I can definitely visualize it. But, you know, I'd like to do something like that at some point.
Okay. Now, when you said, because I wanted to ask you, would you consider yourself a spiritual teacher at this point? Or, like, do you work with people, or do you just use the book and use your life as an example?
I do work with people privately. I do channeled readings. So, I guess they call them sort of like soul readings now. So, yeah, I work with people one-on-one, and I actually consider that to be, I think, my most favorite expression of how I continue to grow this work, because you know, it is that one-on-one connection with your higher self or your soul that I think really creates the difference. It's, you know, nice to read the book, and it's more than nice to read the book, but, you know, when you hear that voice physically, you know, when you have an exchange that's in real time, you know, and get to have that conversation, it really does shift people in profound ways that I can't even understand. You know, most times I don't know anything about a person, and, you know, when I talk to them on the phone, and I just ask for their higher self, their spiritual master, or whatever, to come through, and, or their soul to come through, and, whatever's best for them. And it's always so different because of that, you know, because of that intention to, you know, for it to be personal for that person. And, you know,
so kind of like,
people laugh.
Would that be like, so if, say, this was a session, would my highest self kind of scooch through you, and then out comes the word from your mouth, but it's me, it's my desire, it's my essence, it's my, and will I like tell myself like, hey, you got to stop doing this, and then, or we just love you, or is it more like in messages, like from teachings from God? I feel like that was just a lot of super duper love, right?
Mm-hmm. It's that same presence, definitely. The way that the voice comes through is that same energy, but even more specific to you. So, you know, a lot of people, they will hear, you know, them addressed as my dear one, or or, you know, light being, or something like that. And, you know, it's like, okay, that's not her anymore. but getting past that, there's a feeling, you know, a physical feeling that most, if not everyone, get when I start channeling, and people say, I felt that. I could really feel like that was me. And, you know, I'm like, you know, I know. I can't explain it, but I know what you're saying. And And, you know, people have had interesting experiences and some of it's more on, you know, spiritual level. Some of it's more on, you know, very mundane level. Like, you know, people have come to me like, I'm out of work, I'm unemployed, I don't know what to do. And all of a sudden it gets to the root of, you know, something that happened with their parents and it's so much deeper. Everything is so much deeper than it looks on the outside. And people start crying and then all of a sudden, you know, they leave the session after an hour and come back to me in 3 months. And it's like, oh, I got the job, right? You know, right when I said. And
well, I'd like to take this really into supper tuning event to Deva, because we're going to wrap up and I don't want people to go, where can I get her? So in this last 30 seconds, where can they, if they want to have an appointment with you and have this soul training, where can they find you?
So you can find me on my website, which is www.teachingsfromgod.com. And everything on there, you can find to book a reading or just find me on social media as well.
Okay, perfect. So it's Courtney Amundson, and I'm going to be posting that, of course, on my Facebook page. And I just want to thank you so much for this beautiful time and that you shared with us.
Thank you so much, Lisa.
Okay, everybody, we'll see you again next Monday. Light on Living. Thank you.